Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Darren again, and this is the weekly roundup for July 31st, 2021. So today we're going to talk about a couple deadlines. And I don't mean the recent baseball trade deadline, which was yesterday. That would be nice to talk about. And as much as I'd like to talk about Chris Bryant and his trade from the Cubs, that's not what we're going to talk about. There's a couple other deadlines that are actually today, the last day of July. So one of these deadlines has to do with something called the debt ceiling. And this is kind of a technical topic, so I'm going to try and describe it in as simple terms as I can. So the debt ceiling is really an anachronism. It's something that we should have done away with a long time ago. The debt ceiling is a statutory limit on the amount of debt that the Treasury is allowed to have outstanding. So I'm going to quote from the webpage of the Department of the Treasury, and then I'll add my own comments after this. So they say, the debt limit, so this is a page on the debt limit, quote, the debt limit is the total amount of money the United States government is authorized to borrow to meet its existing legal obligations, including Social Security and Medicare benefits, military salaries, interest on the national debt, tax refunds, and other payments. The debt limit does not authorize new spending commitments. It simply allows the government to finance existing legal obligations that Congresses and presidents of both parties have made in the past. Failing to increase the debt limit would have catastrophic economic consequences. It would cause the government to default on its legal obligation, an unprecedented event in American history. That would precipitate another financial crisis and threaten the jobs and savings of everyday Americans, putting the United States right back in a deep economic hole just as a country is recovering from the recent recession. Congress has always acted when called upon to raise the debt limit. Since 1960, Congress has acted 78 separate times to permanently raise, temporarily extend, or revise the definition of the debt limit, 49 times under Republican presidents and 29 times under Democratic presidents. Congressional leaders in both parties have recognized that this is necessary. Unquote. So you can tell just from that reading there's a bit of editorializing, right? This is not just the Department of Treasury saying, well, this is what the debt limit is, you know, this is the definition of it. In the middle there, they said failing to increase the debt limit would have catastrophic economic consequences. So this is not an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal or, you know, some economist just on some talk show. This is the official Department of the Treasury website saying failure to increase the debt limit would have catastrophic economic consequences. So to unpack what's really going on here with this debt limit, it's really important that we understand what we mean by the national deficit and national debt. These are two terms that are really misunderstood by a lot of people. So let's start first with the distinction between the deficit and the debt. When people refer to the deficit, that is simply a measure of the difference between the amount of money that the federal government has spent into the economy and the amount that it is taxed back out of the economy. To give a very simple example, let's say that the government were to spend $100 into the economy one year. Obviously, this is not realistic. It's just as an example. If the government spent $100 into the economy and collected $90 in taxes, then we would say that the government ran a deficit of $10. During that year. So the deficit is measured on usually an annual basis. You would say the deficit for 2016 or for 2017 was this much. The debt, by contrast, the national debt then, is the accumulation of all of those deficits over the life of the country. So the national debt is the amount of money or currency that the federal government has spent into the economy at any time, but not yet taxed back. Now, we need to be clear about one thing. When we talk about debt in the sense of the federal government, it's very different than the debt that you and I have, or even the debt that local, municipal, and state governments have, or that businesses and corporations have. As I've said before, the federal government is the issuer of the currency. It literally creates the money that is spent into the economy. So to say that the federal government has a debt is really a misnomer. The real debt that the federal government has is that it has promised to accept its own money back to extinguish federal tax liability. So for instance, if you have a $20 bill in your pocket, that is a liability of the federal government, and it's your asset, right? It's your money. It's an asset. So for every asset, there's a liability. It's your asset. It's a liability of the federal government, but it's not a liability to pay you something back. If you go to the Treasury and you say, you know, I want to redeem this $20, they're just going to give you another $20 bill. That's the essence of fiat currency. It's non-convertible. They're not going to give you gold or silver or chickens or pigs or something like that. They're just going to give you dollars, U.S. dollars back. But they do promise to accept that if you have a tax liability. So they levy a tax, and if you have $20 bill in your pocket, they'll say, okay, we will accept that to extinguish your tax liability. That's what it means to say that that money is a liability of the federal government. Another way to put it is when you think of, say, an annual deficit, instead of thinking of it as the amount of money that the federal government has, quote unquote, borrowed to finance its spending, what it's really saying is it's the net transfers from the federal government into the economy. It doesn't make any sense, really, to say that the federal government borrows money. As I've said earlier, the federal government issues the currency. How can you borrow your own money? That doesn't make any sense. You can't borrow something that you're the creator of. Where's this money being borrowed from? Are there U.S. dollar factories in China? Does Japan have some machine somewhere in the basement that's manufacturing U.S. dollars? Of course not. U.S. dollars come from the United States. So there's no borrowing going on. Now, you could say, well, then what is all this that I hear about this debt, this 25 or 28 trillion, however much this national debt is now? Then if it's not amount that's borrowed that has to be paid back, what's really going on here? And one way to look at this is to think of the debt as simply a different form of asset. So you remember the example I said where the deficit was $10 because the government had spent $100 into the economy, only taxed $90 back. Well, that means somebody is sitting somewhere with a $10 bill in their hand, or they have $10. Well, all that the debt is really saying, okay, you've got this $10 tax credit, basically, because that's what the currency is. It's a tax credit. You've got this $10 of tax credit sitting in your hand. Nothing's happening with it. You're just holding on to it. What if you give me that $10 back, and I'll give you another form of a tax credit? I'll call it a treasury security. And the difference, though, is that now, when you hold this one, you can't spend it right away if you owe taxes, but after a certain amount of time, I will redeem this. In other words, I'll convert it back into the original form of tax credit that you had, and I'll give you a little bit more on top of it. I'll give you a little bit of interest. So maybe this is a hypothetical example. Maybe at the end of a year, you give me back this different form of $10, and I'll give you back $11 of the original type of money that I gave you. So now you have $11 instead of $10. But otherwise, there's really not much difference between the two. So this is not a borrowing operation. What the federal government is doing is simply changing one form of currency that it's already spent into the economy into another form of currency that's slightly different in that it pays a little bit of interest. So how does this relate to this debt ceiling? So this debt ceiling or debt limit is an artificial, it's completely artificial limit that the government has imposed on itself on the amount of outstanding treasuries. So what this means is if the debt limit is not increased, the treasury will not be able to issue more securities, and it will have to start drawing down on its own account at the Federal Reserve. I'm going to read from a Washington Post article. This was on July 21st, so a little over a week ago. It's entitled, Republicans Threaten to Hold Up Debt Ceiling Days Before Deadline, Raising Potential for Political Showdown. And again, I'll quote from it, and then I'll have some comments after. Quote, Senate Republicans on Wednesday, so again, this would have been about 2 weeks ago, threatened to vote against an increase to the debt ceiling unless Congress first agrees to new spending cuts or other measures, raising the potential for a major political showdown that could carry vast implications for both the global economy as well as President Biden's agenda. The new ultimatum marked a reversal for Republicans who agreed to address the debt ceiling, the statutory amount the government can borrow to pay its bills, multiple times to advance policies under President Donald Trump that helped add $7 trillion to the federal debt during his terms, unquote. Okay, so a couple comments already. Notice the framing, the linguistic framing. Deficit, debt. They're not talking about net transfers into the economy. They're not talking about net assets of the public. Also, what you're seeing here is that this is a political football that's getting passed back and forth between Democrats and Republicans. Basically, what this debt ceiling or debt limit thing is it's an artificial political football that each of the political parties can use to kind of make political hay, especially the Republicans. They can use this as a way of saying, oh my gosh, look at how much the Democrats are spending. Look at what this is doing to the deficit and the debt. We got to put a stop to this. You know, never mind what we've done in the past, you know, the amount that we've spent or the fact that we didn't worry about the debt ceiling when we were in office. But now the Democrats are in office. We got to do something about this. Returning to the article, quote, and now they're going to be quoting someone within the article. Quote, we had a pandemic that drove a lot of spending, but what's been added on top of it and what Democrats plan to spend moving forward on top of that, I think it calls for some level of sanity, unquote, Senator Marco Rubio said. Generally, the debt limit is not very good leverage for that, he continued. But at this point, I mean, there really is no other way to make people here wake up and live in the real world, unquote. The renewed Republican threats arrived only 10 days before a current agreement that suspends the debt ceiling is set to expire. If Congress cannot reach a deal to raise or suspend the ceiling by month's end, the government would have to rely on what are known as, quote-unquote, extraordinary measures to keep paying its bills. Such tactics could give lawmakers breathing room until October or November, according to a new analysis from the Congressional Budget Office, at which point the country would be at risk of default if it did not act, unquote. So these extraordinary measures, these are actions that the Treasury can take to make sure that it is paying things that it needs to pay for. So although the debt limit is expiring, it doesn't mean that like on August 1st that everything explodes, you know, and we have a default. But it does mean that unless something is done in a couple months by October or November, we could be in a real situation where there is a possible default. Now, I've talked about how it is impossible for a currency issuer to default on debt denominated in its own unit of account. So the U.S. debt is denominated in U.S. dollars. That's the United States' own unit of account. It creates its own currency, so it can't default. It's impossible for the federal government to default or become insolvent. However, a more accurate statement would be to say that it is impossible for a currency issuer to voluntarily default on debt denominated in its own unit of account. Notice the word voluntarily. So if this default were to happen, since this is a completely artificial constraint, this is the fiscal equivalent of taking a gun out and shooting yourself in the head. And this is the reason that I really brought this up, is these are the symptoms of a system that cannot deal with reality, that cannot deal with basic functioning. I mean, Hal said it best in the interview we had a couple weeks ago. He said that, I don't think we could count on the federal government to tie its own shoes. Not raising the debt ceiling or defaulting on debt that's denominated in your own unit of account is the equivalent of really not being able to tie your own shoes. It's at that kind of level. And yet we're talking about it. So this is what's happening. It's not just that we don't have a federal government that's able to address important questions, important issues, healthcare, immigration, climate, jobs, the economy. Forget all that stuff. It can't even deal. I mean, that would be like, we're going to go to work and we're going to really put on our thinking caps and really try and solve some problems. This is like, no, we're tripping over our own feet before we even get out the door and start the commute. We literally can't even tie our own shoes. So that's the level of dysfunction in Washington, D.C. And that's the reason that I brought this story up. The other deadline, which is also today, July 31st. The House failed to pass a bill that would have extended the eviction moratorium. So the eviction moratorium deadline is today. And what that means is that the evictions that are already taking place in practice, even with the moratorium in place, are going to start accelerating even more, because now landlords would be able to follow through on eviction proceedings for non-payment and not have to invent these kind of workarounds where they try and find some other reason to evict people. So this is really going to this is going to really accelerate, and we're going to see an even worse crisis over the next month or two than we've already seen. So from Business Insider, quote, Representative Cori Bush slammed Democrats, saying they decided to take a recess ahead of the upcoming eviction moratorium deadline, potentially plunging millions of renters into a state of disarray. And she said, quote, we could have extended it yesterday, but some Democrats went on vacation instead, unquote. Bush, a progressive representative from Missouri, said on Twitter Saturday morning. We slept at the Capitol last night to ask them to come back and do their jobs. Today's their last chance. We're still here, she added, tweeting out a picture of her and several activists outside the Capitol building. Hours after failing to pass a bill that would have extended the eviction moratorium, the House on Friday entered a recess that'll last until August. The eviction moratorium, first set up in September 2020 in response to the financial devastation brought on by the coronavirus, was extended in June by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So the last extension was not even done by Congress or by the House, it was by the CDC. Continuing, the White House encouraged Congress to extend the moratorium past July, giving guidance to do so at the last minute. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said in a statement that the Biden administration would have, quote unquote, strongly supported the CDC in a decision to renew the moratorium. But a Supreme Court ruling specified that the decision to renew required congressional approval, the White House statement said. Democrats unanimously voted to pass the bill, but Republican House members blocked the legislation. So another deadline passed and more inaction. So this just continues the pattern I was talking about. Inaction, inability to deal with reality, inability to deal with problems. That's what we get from Washington, D.C. And we have to live with the consequences here in California. How many more Californians are going to be thrown out of their homes because of this eviction moratorium expiring? How much jeopardy does the debt ceiling crisis put California's economy in? You know, when the rest of the world looks at something like this debt ceiling thing, they're really laughing at us. I mean, it's really a joke. And it really puts our economy in California at risk because we are tied to Washington, D.C. And it doesn't have to be this way. Why should the health of our economy in California be held hostage by the inability or unwillingness of lawmakers in Washington, D.C. to do their job? Lawmakers that, you know, overwhelmingly in the Senate and the vast majority in the House are not even elected by Californians. We don't have any say over, you know, the other 98 members of the Senate. We don't have a say over most of who gets into the House, but we have to live with the consequences of their inability to tie their own shoes. So as you think over these two deadlines that have come today, July 31st, think about another deadline. What is the deadline for California? How much more dysfunction can we endure before the deadline for our tolerance will expire? And on that somber note, I will see you again next week. Have a good week.